Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Very familiar text, and if you don't know it already, get to know it and memorize it. Amen. And I want to say that I'm so glad to be here today. Amen. I'm trying to think of what I should say next, but I'm thinking I'm just going to keep it to myself. I want to do God's will. Amen. So just back me up. I have several services to go here. So my only request, and I probably don't even need to insert this, but is you just trust me. Because you're going to be inviting people. And I'm a bit of an oddball. So I might go off on some tangents and you might be thinking, Lord, help him. But just trust me. There'll be days I don't preach what you think I should preach. But I learned a long time ago that God blesses obedience. Amen. God blesses obedience. And as a preacher, this might be complicated to interpret. But God blesses obedience even more than sermons. Amen. And so I want to make sure that I preach what God wants me to preach. Amen. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Say amen when you're there. Jesus Christ, the same. The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought: when clocks collide. When clocks collide. Can we say that together? When clocks collide. Let's put our Bibles down and let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Jesus, for this time that you've allowed us to gather in your presence. God, I pray that in the next few moments, you would use my mouth, God, to speak. God, I know what you've laid on my heart to preach, but I pray, God, that you would make it accessible, God, to everybody that's here today, that they might derive something from your word, which is so rich, so plentiful. God, let us walk out of this place changed, informed, inspired, God, and renewed in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said a healthy amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Give them a great big God bless you. And you may be seated. During the 1800s, a small town, it's actually not so small now, but it was then, of the small town of Sandusky, Ohio, waged a small and yet brief war against what was then mainstream society. This little protest or conflict, which would probably seem silly to us today, but it wasn't then, revolved around what time it was. It revolved around what time it was. Time then, in the 1800s, wasn't quite the same as time is now. In the 1800s, time, for as long as anyone could remember, was read in what is known now as task time. Now, task time essentially means that people determine what time it is by the position of the sun and by the tasks that they're performing. There are still very subtle hints of this in our language today. For example, we talk about bedtime, or we talk about lunch time, or we talk about, work time. But this is kind of complicated. This form of reading time is complicated. The reason it's complicated is because it's not standardized. It's personalized. So if I were to ask you, what time is bedtime? 9? What time is bedtime? She said 9. She said 11:30. And if I went through this congregation, it's the same. Because when you read time that way, it's personalized. It's different for everyone. And so this is how time operated for as long as anybody could remember. In fact, when you begin to travel outside the United States, or you even deal with some people that have migrated to the United States, like Latinos, hallelujah, we show up late everywhere. Amen. I can say that because I'm Mexican and I show up late everywhere. And you'll notice when you travel around the world, people don't move the way we do in the Western world regarding time. You might have people standing out on the street and they see a line of people going to church and they say, it must be church time. They don't look at their clock and say, it's 9:30, it's time to go to church. They kind of move in task. And so in Sandusky, Ohio, and in the United States for that matter, the problem was that you could have as many times as there were clocks. So if you went into Sandusky, Ohio, and you walked into a hotel, it might be 12 o'clock. And then you walked into the barber shop or the local grocery market, it might be 12:10. And then you go to the bank, and it might be 12:30. And you would never be able to get what today we know as standard time. Everybody had a different time. Now, this all changed one day. Well, over the course of several days. And what brought about the change was the railroad, or the train companies, the railroads. We'll leave it at that. Now, the railroads were in a unique predicament because they had the bank's money, the hotel's customers, and the grocery store's goods. And so when the trains would drive or come into town, the one thing they didn't have was patience to wait for everybody in a town who had a different time to show up on time. So the train might say, I'm showing up at 2, but nobody could agree what time 2 o'clock was because everybody had a different version of 2 o'clock, and the train had to get going to the next town. So they didn't have time. In fact, there's not enough time in the world to wait for a bunch of folk who think it's a different time to agree on what time it is. And so the train company said, forget you guys. We will invent our own version of time. We'll put our own version of time in the mix. And we know now that their version of time was actually inaccurate as well. Amazingly, however, the people of Sandusky, Ohio knew, because they had become very skilled, like most people in those days, at gauging the position of the sun. They knew that the railroad companies were off as well. And when time is personal, somebody coming in and saying, this is what time it is, becomes offensive. It's aggressive. It's invasive. If I came over your house and told you bedtime 7, you wouldn't appreciate that. And all the kids said amen. And the railroad company said, we now have our own time. And they didn't stop there because they had money, a lot of money. They did this in Sandusky, Ohio, and they did it throughout the U.S. And this is actually how we got on standard time. The train companies begin to put their own clocks in town. All throughout the town, they would put these big, in fact, if sometimes you go to towns that, you know, they're replicas of old Western towns or whatever, you'll notice there's always a big clock somewhere. And a lot of times those clocks were put there by the railroad companies because the railroad companies wanted everybody in town to get on their time. Now, in Sandusky, Ohio, half the town decided to dig in their heels. And they said, we don't accept that. We fight that. We reject that. We refute that. We're not going to let somebody tell us what time it is. Well, half the town said, we're just going to do whatever the railroad company says. Well, they did this, and this little war went on for quite some time until it finally became useless. And here we are today. Now, what this little illustration teaches us is something much bigger than industrial and, you know, it teaches us more than just about industry and civil development. It teaches us something about humanity. And what it tells us is that humanity will accept almost anything, even if it contradicts nature itself. If it's more convenient, if it's more efficient, and if it's more conducive to making money. Which, in some cases, doesn't matter. I don't think it matters that we can all agree here on a standardized form of time. But when it comes to morality, when it comes to your spiritual life, when it comes to your emotional life, whose clock you're on is a big deal. And I want you to know that in this world, you and I are stuck between two time zones. There is the world's time zone and there is God's time zone. There is the world's clock and there is God's clock. There is the world's time and there's God's time. And everybody is going to have to adopt one version or the other. There's only two. You don't get an option. You are going to have to determine in your life, saint of God, visitor, friend of mine, whose clock you're going to be on. And I want you to know, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, there ain't no clock like God's clock. And there is no time like God's time. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We are literally living inside, amen, of a time zone, war zone, amen, if you will. And I want you to know that if there's ever been a time, amen, and I believe that we're in the time right now where we really have to allow ourselves to come under the shadow of God's clock, it's right now. Amen. The problem with the world's clock, amen, and it's become more obvious to us now than ever, is that it's on a sliding scale. It's constantly changing. It's constantly fluctuating. Amen. One day the world says it's time to do this, and the next day they say it's not time to do this. And sometimes this is right, and then sometimes this is not right. And then sometimes this is acceptable, and then other times this is not acceptable, which is really the worst thing for a human being, because you and me don't have a lot of time. And the last thing we need in our lives, amen, is to be run by a system and a way of thinking that doesn't know what time it is to begin with. Amen. Amen. But can I preach to you today, amen, that there is a clock out there. There is a time zone out there that it never changes. Amen. It stays fixed. Amen. It's an eternal clock. Amen. It started ticking the day the world was created, and it's still ticking the same. Amen. There are things in God's clock that never change, my friend. Amen. There are some things that God says that's wrong, and it's always going to be wrong.
And let me tell you something. It's not wrong because it benefits God. It's wrong because it benefits you. Amen. God.
You've got to get on the right clock. Because you don't have a lot of time. David said it like this. Oh Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. In modern terms, oh Lord, show me what time it is. Because I don't have a lot of time. And there's a lot of foolishness in the world. Everybody thinks they're going to live forever. Everybody thinks that they got all the time in the world. And the reality is that none of us know when our time is up. The Apostle James said it like this. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that's here for a little while, and then it vanishes. Peter said it this way. He says that man is like the grass or like the flower. He withers and goes away. We're here one day. We're gone the next. And that is not just a message for people that are maturing in age. That's a message for young people too. Just your age does not determine how long you're going to live. Your age does not determine whether you get to stick around planet Earth for a long time or not. You could be 12 and it might be your last day. You could be 15 and it might be your last day. You could be 16 and it might be your last day. And this is why Solomon even went on to say, remember the Lord in thy youth. You know, the powerful thing about God is now, and I hope I don't clash too many swords here, and I know some people probably fantasize, and I don't want to violate your fantasies. But you know, you'll notice that the Bible, it appeals to our need for consistency, to be on a clock that doesn't change. And the way it does this is it tells you heaven will have streets of gold. It'll have pearly gates. Now, what that's appealing to is not your love for gold and pearls. You know, because some folks are like, well, you know, I can't wear them now, but one day. You know the thing about gold and pearls? Is that they've always cost a lot. Their value in human exchange never changes. Metals, gold is one of those metals that it's always been worth a lot. In the Bible days and today. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't collect rust either. It's a precious metal that and the Bible says these are the kinds of streets you'll walk on. You are a citizen of a place where the values stay constant. They're not fluctuating. When you get under God's clock, my friend, God will begin to inject into your spirit some eternal values, some things that some when the world's going up and down, you'll be steady. Amen. When things are going nuts, amen, you'll be steady. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I've you know, and I just want to talk to you for a second this morning. You know, I can remember a day when I first started living for God, and there was a lot of rough spots in my walk with God, and I remember people used to say, you know, there'll come a day when those around you, their lives will be going up and down, and yours will stay steady, and it'll become really quite a means by which God will evangelize your loved ones and your friends. And I'm telling you, I've been living for God now 14 plus years, which isn't a long time. But now I'm starting to see the reality of this. I'm seeing people who I love, my family, their lives are now becoming chaotic. They're on this roller coaster ride. And my life is becoming more and more stable every day. Because with God, things get more and more stable every day. And when you're on God's clock,
When you're on God's clock, you're standing on some eternal stuff. When you're on God's clock, amen, you're not moved by what everybody else is doing. You're on a time zone. You're on a scale. It don't change. You know what? That's wrong. That's always wrong. Amen. That's right. That's always right. It's right on Monday and it's right on Tuesday. It's right on Wednesday and it's right on Thursday. It's wrong on Friday. I'd hate to be on a clock that tells me it's okay to be with Jimmy this month and break up with him next month. It's okay to be with Lisa this week and break up with her next week. I hate to be on a clock that tells me it's okay to hang out with these guys this day and not okay that day. I'd hate to be on a clock that tells me it's okay to look this way now but not that way later. Amen. I want to be on a clock and on a system that says you can be this way all the time. You can think this way all the time. You can. Somebody shout amen. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I feel like there's people here. You're tired of it. You're roaming, amen, out there in the world. Amen. You're stuck under a messed up time zone. And let me tell you something else. I was with Josh this morning and I told him, and your pastor made mention of this. We're living in a day and an age right now where if you don't determine what time zone you're gonna be on, amen, you're gonna get swept away in the currents of some pretty nasty stuff. I've never felt like it's a good idea not to live for God. But if there's ever been a day and an age where you really, really want to make up your mind, it's right now. Because the stuff that's out there. The stuff that's out there. You know, now you get caught away in stuff. There's ways of thinking. There's activities. I don't care what anybody tells you. Drugs are worse today than ever. And Alabama ain't safe. There's more meth being cooked up out here than anywhere else. You know, it's all fun. And then in two, three years, you ain't got no teeth. It's all fun and games. You start smoking weed. A few years, you're a crackhead. I ain't playing. You think I'm playing? I'm not playing. I'm telling you, I've done my dirt. I've been out there, and I'm telling you, even right now, looking back, I'm like, you know what? People are crazy nowadays. People are running foul these days. And you know what? And not only are not see the real problem is that now time moves faster. Now because the Bible says that as we approach the closing of time, the Bible says that the devil knows he's got but a short time, and so he works harder now. He'll work you harder now. It'll just start off with playing a little game here and there. Amen. Hanging out with these folks here and there. And before you know it, the devil says, I just needed to get you in the door. And now I'm going to work you hard. Amen. It might have just started off with music, but now you're running with the wrong folks. And next thing you know, now you're in jail. And it might have just started with dating this little guy who was no good news. And now all of a sudden you're doing crazy things and selling your body and running. I'm telling you, you can think whatever you want about me right now, but I know what I felt when I was sitting in this service. You know where I live? Let me approach it this way. You know where I live? We got billboards right now everywhere that reach out to teenage girls who are being prostituted. And see, the thing now is that girls don't tend to be prostituted against their will. Now it's like a viable source of income. I'm going to preach really good because, see, you know, everybody come to church with their best on, right? Well, some folks.
you know what, bro? I fly here from California, and I always stop in Las Vegas. That's just where they put me. I said they put me in Vegas. I guess, I don't know. And I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding? I'll see boatloads of girls that come into Vegas just for the weekend. And they're not coming against their free will. That's how they make money. You get on the wrong plane, and there will be young ladies that prostitute themselves. See, and the bigger problem now is you get into things like the rap culture and the hip-hop culture, and that's glorified, and everybody's a pimp. Now, I know I can hear people chuckling. I'm not doing this. I don't preach to shock people. But I'm telling you, when I was standing right over there, just a few pews, I felt like there's a young girl, you need to hear me right now. I don't care what it's glorified. I don't care how much money. I don't care what the opportunity is. I'm telling you, friend, God sent this chubby preacher to pull you out. God sent this little chubby preacher to let you know there ain't no money worth. I don't want to be a player. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't care. I don't care what people are doing out there. I want to get out from under there. I'm telling you right now, God has brought you into this church to bring you out from a clock that'll destroy your life, from pulling you out of a time zone that'll have its way with you and then spit you out. I need somebody to help me preach this morning. We're fighting a much bigger war than we think we are. And it's... Come on, somebody. Come on, help me preach right now. I want every hand lifted up right now. We need to pray just for a few seconds. Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Come on, give God a hand praise right now. Hey, let me tell you, I don't care what the world says. It's never time to sell your body for money. Hey, I don't care what the world says. It ain't never time to be a pimp. I don't care what the world says. It's never time to be a meth head. I don't care what the world says. It's never time to be a crackhead. It's never time to experiment with drugs. It's never time to hang out at the bars. I'm telling you right now, you need to help me preach. See, we're living in a world that tries to tell you, you know what, this kind of preaching, it's too much. People need to experiment. People don't need to experiment. Experimenting destroys lives. I'm so glad that there's still a God working with humanity that says that's always been wrong. That ruins lives. You know what? I'm going to be real with you. I thank God. I'm telling you the truth. I thank God. My mom does not go to church. My mom is not a Christian, but she's a very moral woman. And I remember growing up, we lived in the hood. And my mom refused to be hood. It's not a sin to be poor. Nobody shout on that one, eh? Got quiet real quick. It ain't a sin to be poor, but you act like a hood rat. I'm telling you, I don't care if you live in a
trailer community. I don't care if you live in the projects. I don't care where you come from. You ought to hold your head up high. You are made in the image of God. You ought to do everything in your power. Don't you act like the kids in your neighborhood. I'm preaching. I don't care what you think. I know what I'm preaching to right now. I'm telling you, young people, don't you act like the other kids. Don't you get on that time zone. Even right now, as you're young, you ought to be praying, God, help me to know what time it is. Help me to know what time it is. Help me to act right. Help me to walk right. And help me to get up at it. I'm telling you. You know, here's the deal. I want you to know this. I'm serious right now. I'm being real serious. If you're here today, you are here by divine appointment. You know what is going on right now? God brought you. I don't care. See, here's the deal. Yeah, I'll preach to people. We'll cover the spectrum. I'm not just preaching now to folks struggling. I'm preaching to everybody. If you're here, I don't care if you've never bounced a check, if you got money coming out your ears. I don't care if you're upper class, middle class, low class, whatever your class is. You are here by divine appointment today. And I'll tell you what else. God is trying to bring you into his concept of time. God is trying to bring you into a place that takes a stand against things. There are people here this morning, you are just visiting. You are actually a nice, good, fluffy, cupcake, pony dreaming Christian. But you attend a church where they don't know what time it is. Because see, there's a lot of churches, and I know, you know, it looks kind of tacky, right? You get invited to a church and they just kind of slam other churches. I'm not trying to do that. Totally. But I want you to know, we are living in a day and an age where even a lot of Christian churches these days, they don't know what time it is. They're doing whatever the world's doing. If I don't want to go to that kind of church, and I don't even want to. Listen, I am telling you the gospel truth. I was a sinner. I was a heathen. I did not live for God. Y'all know this. I was working at a tattoo shop. I had piercings in my face, tattoos everywhere. And you know what? When I was out there, the last thing I wanted was somebody that looked like me telling me about Jesus. I wanted somebody that could not identify with me. I wanted somebody that said, you know what? You look crazy. You know what? You got to come out of that because... Let me tell you something. There's a big difference between Exodus and freedom. Exodus is when you come out of something. Freedom is where when the place you came out of comes out of you. And God don't just want to get you out. He wants to get things out. I'm preaching really good right now. And you know how things come out? When you decide I am on God's clock. I accept God's calendar. I accept God's time zone. I accept what God says. Do you understand that when God brought the children of Israel out, the first thing he did before a Passover, before anything, he said, this will be the first month or the head of months for you, for your year. He said, from the day I start dealing with you, you are now on a new calendar. You're not on Pharaoh's clock. You're not on Egypt's calendar. You are now, you got a new day, a new year, a new time zone. You know why he took them off Egypt's calendar? Because their calendar didn't have time for repentance. Egypt didn't make time to celebrate the goodness of God. In fact, this was Moses' contention with Pharaoh. He said, let God's people go, that they may go into the wilderness and worship. Because Pharaoh, you don't make time for that. because you think you're God. You got to understand, the world don't got time for God. The world don't got time for repentance. The world don't slow down. The world don't say, you know what, Becca's kind of going through it right now. She needs to just stop for a minute and get her mind together. The world says, Becca, pony up or you're fired. Well, I'm preaching good. I'm not worried. You know what? There's more than five people here that just this week, all you've been thinking about is how life is passing you by. And you need things to slow down. And you need things to stop so you can catch up. And life's saying, I don't care. Your family's saying, I don't care. Your kids are saying, I don't care. Your job's saying, you're fired. Nobody's stopping for you. The clock, that world clock is just ticking on you. And God brought you here to give you rest. God brought you here to give you rest. God brought you here to give you rest. God brought you here so that you can stop and reflect and repent and say, you know what, God, I don't let the world pass me by. I'm going to stop right here. I got one life to live. I want to make things right. I want to get rectified in my spirit. I want to get straight. I want to get my mind straight. I want to get my heart aligned with you. God, I want things. Oh. I don't care if this is your first time here or your 569th time here. You are on God's clock right now. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's a privilege to be on God's clock. It is a privilege. It is a privilege for God to tell you don't do that when everybody else... It is a privilege for God to tell you that's wrong for you today, tomorrow, until the day you die, son. Man, well, you know what? I doubt my mom will ever come to Alabama, so I could say this. I love my mom. You know, I'm praising my mom now. I'm like beating her up. But I remember my mom, she didn't have God in her life. And I remember... You know, there was a time where she was like, boy, don't you bring no girls over to my house. You know, my mom raised me. My dad took off on my mom. So my mom dished out the whoopings. But I remember there came a time when mom got tired. And now me and my sister can bring anybody home we wanted. And the morals shifted all the time. And there was a time where my mom, don't let me catch you doing drugs. Don't let me catch you smoking. See, I'm preaching really good. I'm preaching really good to a mom. I'm preaching really good to a son right now. You used to get on your boy, but now he smokes right in front of you. And all kinds of stuff is sliding. And you know why? Because you're on the wrong clock.
Right.
Well, when you get on God's clock, don't let anybody or anything take you off. When you get under God's time zone, stay on it. Somebody shout, stay on it.
Stay on it.
Somebody shout, stay on it.
Stay on it.
Don't let anybody get you off God's clock. Visit a friend of mine, don't stop coming. You're on God's clock, keep coming. Don't let anybody get you off. Stay on it. Don't let your pops get you off. Stay on it. Don't let your brother get you off. Stay on it. Don't let your bitter cousin get you off. Stay on it. See, because you know what's going on right now? I'll tell you what happens. You know, it's funny. You know, When you messed up, nobody cares. And then you start going to church and everyone's a theologian.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Uncle John want to talk. Son, I'm worried about you. Well, you wasn't worried about me when I was on meth and down to three teeth. And now you want to talk Bible? You wasn't worried about me when I was on my fifth husband, and now you worried? You wasn't worried about me when I was on my 10th boyfriend, and now you're worried? You wasn't worried about me when I was smoking like a chimney, and now you're worried? You wasn't worried about me when I was the cocktail queen down at the bar, and now you're worried? I'm telling you, you got it. Don't let nobody get you off God's clock. Don't let people get you off. If you're here, keep coming. If God's drawing you, keep coming. Stay on it. Stay on it. Stay on it. Don't. Hey, can this chubby preacher tell you that if God's working on you, it could be because he knows more than you do about how much time you got left, and God's saying, I better start working on him now so he can get into heaven. I better start working on her now so she can reach her full potential. I ought to. Number one. Don't let anybody tell you you're too young. Hey, I got saved when I was 18 years old. 18 years old. And from 18 till about today, devil tell me, you're too young to be doing this. I remember I started evangelizing, preaching all across the country, staying in hotels by myself, traveling, young single man. And I remember it was every night in the hotel was just a fight. Devil telling me, you're too young. You're too young. Come on, go back out there. Come on, go do this. Come on, go do that. And I was the preacher. I was trying to get up the next morning to preach. And I had all kinds of filth and smut and evil running through my spirit. And devil, you're too young for this. You're too young for this. You're too young for this. You're too young. I'm preaching to every single person here. You are not too young for this. Religion is not just for grandma and grandkids. Religion is for you. Jesus is for you. God is for you. Bible is for you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. This is good for you at whatever stage in life. I feel bad for young people. I feel bad for young people that at young ages got messed up lives and they still don't give that life to God. You know what? If I was young and I had a jacked up life, I'd hold on to God for everything I got. If mama's strung out and papa's gone, I'd be hanging on to God with. Reggie, you know when God talked to me for the first time in my life? On Father's Day. On Father's Day. My dad divorced my mom and then me too. I know what it is to grow up without a dad. I know what it is to finally meet your dad and your dad don't even know when your birthday is. I know what it is for your dad to go marry another woman, have other kids, and act like you ain't even his. And I'm telling you, You know, when you're tough, you don't really show that stuff. But deep down inside, that hurts. You could be hard on the outside. You could be doing all kinds of hard stuff on the outside. But on the inside, that stuff jacks you up. On the inside, you see somebody else's dad taking them to the football game. Somebody else's dad. And you think, man, why don't I have a dad? I know what it is to be at school and see other kids that have both parents, and I think, why me? I know what it is to go into classrooms and make teachers cry because I'm taking out all my anger. I know what it is for the principal to ask my mom and any family member she can gather up to sit me down inside the principal's office because I'm about to get expelled from the school district. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. 14 plus years ago on Father's Day, I remember Reggie coming home crying. I was crying. I don't know why. I was on drugs. I was high. I had been running with my friends all night. I came home, and that day, I remember just thinking, today's Father's Day. And I remember bawling my eyes out, thinking, where's my dad? I don't even have a dad to celebrate. I remember when my dad started trying to come back into my life. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know if it's better that you try to come in or just never try at all. Because your presence is bothering me. Okay. But see, God loves young people like that. God looks at a young person without a dad, without a mom, and God says, you know what? I'm for you. I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding? I remember when I went to junior high school, 7th, 8th grade, I had one pair of pants. I remember coming home every day washing those one pair of pants. I'm preaching to somebody. I remember washing myself, washing those pair of pants. Reggie, I washed those pair of pants till I had holes in the knees. And I remember when I got saved, I remember going to school feeling so embarrassed. Because, you know, once you get into 7th, 8th grade, kids are tough. I learned how to be funny and clown on people as a form of defense. Because I had holes in my pants. And you wasn't going to get me. I remember I got saved. I'd been living for God about 10 years. And I remember I was praying one day. I was praying. And all of a sudden, I saw a picture in my mind of me washing those pants with holes in the knees. And God spoke to me, said, son, had you spoke to me then, I would have gave you a pair of pants. I'm telling you, you are never too young to live for God. You are never too young. I don't care where you at in life. It's always a good idea to get on God's clock. This preacher's preaching really good right now. I know some of y'all are quiet, but it's because I'm reading your mail. I'm telling you, there's some young people right now. You got to say, you know what? Forget that life. I'm going for this life. You know what? Forget that path. I'm taking this path. You know what? I want that bus to pick me up next week, too. There's a kid here right now. There's a kid here right now. You are only with your parent for this weekend because you actually get divided up between your parents. I'm telling you right now, I'm reading your mail and paying for the stamps. I'm telling you right now, young person, you need to give your life over to the thing that parent is trying to introduce into your life. Amen. If you are here today, I don't care if you're just here for the weekend and on visitation. You ought to say, you know what? This is good. I want this. God, come into my life. And God, let me live in your time zone. Let me get under your clock. Let me get into your system. God. You know, the thing you got to understand is that life is not about convenience and efficiency. Because if it was, we wouldn't have families. In fact, the human family is one of the most inefficient. See, you know, horses and lions and zebras, you know, they'll have babies and that baby's born running. You don't even have teeth for a year. And then when you get them, you crippled. You drool over yourself. You get teeth and can't even chew. You get teeth and you can't even eat solids. The human family is one of the most inefficient, unconventional things in all of nature. It's made up of different people of different ages, different strengths, and different capacities. You can have a one-year-old and a four-year-old, a husband and a wife. I remember once my daughter was born, it took us more time to get to the door than to where we were going. I'm telling you, I got to the point where I just stand by the door. I've had to go to marriage counseling since then. And just tell my wife, I'm ready. I did it before I came here. But I'll tell you what, I've never derived joy, pleasure, peace, comfort. You know, you have kids and you're supposed to comfort them, but there's nothing that comforts you like holding your child. You hold your baby, you be like, it's going to be all right. There's nothing that will feed your spirit. There is nothing that will contribute to your mental hygiene and your well-being like a family. It's inefficient. It's unconventional. But I'm telling you, it's the best. We know now that if a person grows up in a family without being held or touched, they will suffer retardation. It will almost totally incapacitate them. But we know that people brought up in healthy families are productive. They're healthier physically, emotionally. I mean, it's endless. Is it efficient? No. Is it conventional? No. Is it is it conducive to producing money? No. But is it the best thing for you? Yes. And coming into the family of God is the same thing. It's not always efficient. It's not always conventional. It's not always practical. It's not always easy going, huh? But it's the best thing for you. Hey, let's just be real, and maybe I shouldn't. You know, my wife has a certain modesty. Here in church we call it holiness. My wife was raised in church, let me tell you. And as good as she is, as holy as she is, you know, she don't wake up every morning like, glory to God. Praise God for all this hair and this skirt. Y'all are laughing, but you know how many people opt out of God's clock because it's not conventional, it's not efficient. You know, it's a lot more practical to live this way than to live that way. It's a lot more practical. I can work more. I can make more money. I can get through life without less problems if I just don't live that way. But let me tell you something. When you get on God's clock, there's a lot of stuff. It's going to rub because God has no qualms about bumping up against other clocks and saying, I'm in charge right here. You don't change this person. You don't manipulate this person. This person. Hey. You know, this ain't just for saints. This is visitors. There's visitors here. There are visitors here. I could take you out of your chair right now and tell you who you are. There's visitors here. There's visitors here that already God is telling them, don't do that. There's visitors here already, even right now, God's telling you, don't wear that. Don't look like that. But somebody keeps talking you out of it. Somebody keeps bumping you off God's clock. Somebody keeps messing with your synchronization. Number one, they won't tell you this. I'll tell you this. You know why they're doing that? Because they get convicted. Because they know that there was a time in their life when God was trying to get them on his clock, and they bucked up against God because it wasn't practical, it wasn't efficient, it wasn't conducive to making money, and they opted out of God's time zone, and they hate to see you opting into it. They don't like it. It makes them feel guilty about the decisions they never were able or even gutsy enough to make. You need to stand on your ground. I don't care if you're 12, 16, 55, you need to have the chutzpah, the guts to say, you know what, I'm opting in. I'm buying in. I'm getting in, and I'm staying on it. I'm staying on it. Uncle Jim didn't stay on it. I'm staying on it. Auntie Lisa didn't stay on it. I'm staying on it. I'm going to finish here. I'm not going to get to finish my sermon. You're not too young. See, we got two kinds of people here. We got the people that are actually young, and the devil's telling them they're too young. And then we got people that are old, and the devil's telling them you're too young. Right? Because you see what I'm facing? You don't see it from where you're sitting, but you know what I'm facing? I'm facing some old folk that think there's still a few more parties to go to. And they fall asleep at the party. Oh, they go. But they end up on the couch, passed out. You know, I used to sell dope. And I'm not glorifying this. But I remember as a drug dealer showing up to people's houses, older folks' houses. And I remember then as a drug dealer seeing people with kids still doing dope. And I think to myself, man, you got kids. And you over here buying drugs from 18-year-olds? Willing to do anything. I'm really trying to weigh this one out. Well, you know what? Let me just meddle, because you may not come back anyways. We're like inviting visitors. I'm running them off. You know what we got? You know, I just came to let you know. Hey, you know what? Dating a younger man don't make you younger. Girlfriend, I don't care how many young men you attract, that don't make you any younger. 40 is not the new 30. I'm telling you right now, your time's almost up. You need to start living for God and quit messing with those boys. I'm preaching it straight to you because you may not come back. And this fat preacher loves you, and he's trying to get you out of that. I'm telling you right now, you got to quit running around with them young men. It's messing with your kids. Your kids don't know why you dating people that are only 5 years older. Your kids don't understand why you dating dudes they went to school with. I'm telling you, you got to cut that out. You got to realize my time's running out. I ain't no spring chicken. I'm some old turkey. I better live for God. I'm tired of just visiting church. I'm going to get in the church. I'm tired of just coming here on Sundays. I'm coming back Wednesday. I'm tired of being on that clock. I'm getting... Real talk. You know what happens? You get left, and that ain't your fault. I'm preaching. I'm sorry, Pastor Son. I'm sorry. You know what happens? You have a man leave you, and that may not be your fault. You see, here's the problem with the devil. He ain't happy with knocking you down. He want to knock your teeth out too. He's not a normal enemy. He to the degree he hates you, he's exceptional. He wants to just demoralize you. He wants to deface you. He don't want your man just to walk out on you. He wants you to turn yourself into a scandal. I'm telling you right now, and I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm telling you, a man will walk out on you. And then the devil, see, I know what it is. It's like, man, I'm raising these kids all by myself. I need a life too. Because here's the reality. There ain't nobody like a mom. Moms will stick around when dad's cut out. But, mother, how you stick around means everything. And if you stick around, mom, you got to do it with your head held up high. You can't start dressing like a teenager hoping to attract another man into your life when all you're going to do is attract boys. And your son doesn't need another boy in the house. And your daughter don't need a boy in the house. They need a man in the house. And when you dress like a woman, you attract men. And when you act like a woman, you attract men, not boys. Y'all, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Because you know what? You know what happens? You know what happens? I'm giving some good advice right here. This is free. You ain't gonna hear this in the streets. See, here's what happens. If you bring a boy into your house, if you start dating a boy, see, you're already frustrated. You're already frustrated with the kids that you can't get off your hands. You got them all day, every day. So you already frustrated. You can't keep the house clean. You're already frustrated. And if you bring another child into the house. But see, that's how the devil is. He says, you know what? Lisa's frustrated. I want her to go nuts. Amen. So let me bring another boy. You know what? My mom, good lady, I'm sorry. I am being vulnerable to help you. To help you. My mom, after my dad left her, My mom started dating all kinds of young men. And see, the problem is the way young men will interact with your children is not good. It wasn't too long until my mom got her a young man that sold dope on the side. And here I am. He's only a few years older than me. He found himself a new pusher. And my mom's frustration. See, the devil said, I'm not just going to knock you down, woman. I'm going to kick your teeth in. I know people are getting restless. Just sit. You need to go. You are dismissed. Come back tonight. But see, if I don't say this, I am so committed. I am so committed to saving about 5 people today. I don't care if you wiggle. I don't care if you fall asleep. Go to sleep. I don't care if you sit there and just dream about Sizzler. Do your thing. I am going to preach until I get me about 5 women saved. Because I'm telling you right now, there are some women here today. You already feel like you're going out of your mind. And the devil's setting you up to kick your teeth in. And God said, I'm going to block it. If you listen, girl, I'll block it. If you listen, woman, I'll block it. If you listen to that chubby preacher, I'll block it. If you do what he said. I know when I'm in the Holy Ghost. I don't need your approval. I'm telling you right now, God is trying to save somebody. You might have brought your boy with you. He's getting nervous. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you brought your... See, I know someone's saying, like, man, he's really getting on the visitors. You know, they're just visitors, yeah. They don't need to make these kinds of decisions yet. You don't know nothing. You need to make those decisions now, partner. You these are good decisions, whether you're a Christian, a sinner. It don't matter. This is good preaching. This is good advice for anybody. You might have brought your other boy with you. He's getting nervous right now. He's looking at you like, we got to go. Yeah, no, you got to go, bro. You leave her right here. She's fixing to get saved. You just looking for a place to sleep? You got to be careful. You got to be careful for men who want to call you mama. Talk about your house saying, it's a crib. You need to let dude know, I ain't your mama. This ain't your crib. Get to stepping.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, there's husbands here getting her. When my wife had our baby, I called her mom, you know. But I ain't talking to that. I'm talking about your young boyfriend want to call you mama. Your house is his crib. He really ain't even affectionate with you. You already thinks he's running around with younger girls. I know. And you know what? See, here's the deal. I'm preaching so good. I'm not just preaching to women. There's actually guys, homies here. But see, God brought him here so he could cut that out. Because there's actually young men that they specialize in targeting older women. They got it down to a science. I can't remember the last time I preached this good.
got to realize, I'm done. You need to realize God is talking to you.
Yes, sir.
I am talking to some of you in such a way that I am going all up and down your life. This is serious. When God talks to you like this, there's only one response. You need to repent.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, there's a reason I put the mic down. I'm telling you, woman, you got to get it right. You got to come up here today and say, you know, and see, some folks think I'm just preaching. This goes on with black people, white people, brown people, yellow people. It don't matter. It don't matter. This goes on. I know rich women that do this stuff. I know upper class, upwardly mobile, well-to-do women that are still running around with boys in their house.
Amen.
That's it. That's everything. That's the message.
Very reverently, very carefully, I want us to all stand up right now.
See, Stephen, people's spiritual clocks, their emotional clocks, are all off right now.
But this is exactly when God will parachute into your life. When you finally realize, my clock's off. I think I'm young and I'm old. And you see the deficiency. You're like, man, this clock's busted. This system's all messed up. This way is all wrong. Could there be another system? Could there be another clock? The answer is yes.
I want every head bowed. I know a lot of y'all are tired. I know you're fidgety. I know you're antsy. I want us all to bow our heads right now and pray. Let's just pray. If you don't know what to pray, I just want you to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
You know, here's my last statement as the organist comes, the musician. You know, when I got saved, I started praying for my mama. I prayed for my mom. And I love my mom, but she's single today. She cannot get a man. I just prayed that out of her life. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because there's young people here today that your home life is being severely affected by the decisions your parents are making. Your parents are not here, but you are here. And the best thing you could do, young person, is say, you know what? I don't know why, I don't understand it, but God has chosen me to be the first in my house. and I'm going to get as much of God as I can this Sunday morning to take it home. I'm going to take it home. I don't want to go out and get you. I've preached good to you. And I hope, if nothing else, I've proven to you I love you. I am all on your side. I'm going to open this altar. I know there's some people here that feel a little offended. You're like, man, he grilled me. That ain't right. But you need to receive this. Just humble yourself for a minute and say, you know what? I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get some God help. Is that all right? Every hand lifted up. Let's pray right now, Jesus. Come on. Come on. This altar is open right now. This is actually a good service to go. If you're sitting next to somebody and you know I was talking to them, I'm telling you, go get them. Get them. Get them. Tell them, come on. You need to go pray before you leave, Lisa. You need to go pray. You need to go pray, Tiffany. You need to go pray, Stacy. You need to go pray. Come on, God's talking to people this morning.
Show me your glory. Show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. So many times I've tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that only you can give me this love that is so true. So many times I've tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that only you can give me this love that is so true.
I need your glory.
I need your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Less of me.
And more of you. Show me your glory, Lord.
Show me your power.
Oh, Lord.
Less of me
and more of you.
It's what I need.
Oh, it's what I need.
I need your glory.
I need your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Less of me
and more of you
is what I need.
Oh, God, it's what I need. your glory.
I need your glory.
My Lord.
I need your glory, Lord.
I want
your glory.
Lord, I want your glory.
Less of me and more of you is what I need.
Oh, it's what I need.
Show me your glory.
Show me your glory. Tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away.
Oh, yeah.
I realized that only you,
Lord,
can give me this love that is so,
so
true.
Many times, Lord.
So many times I've tried,
see,
my,
tried
way,
my way,
but all of the pain
all
didn't
the
go
pain
away.
That's it, Chris. You're getting the Holy Ghost. Stephen and Chris just got the Holy Ghost. Come on, Chris, let it out.
I need your glory. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Oh, God, show me your glory. Show me your power.
Less of me
and more. Tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that
only you
can give me this love that is so true.
So many times,
so many times I've tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that
only you
can give me this love that is so true. I need your glory, Lord.
I
want your glory.
Glory.
Less of me, Lord.
Less of me,
more of you.
More of you is what I need.
Oh, yeah.
Show me your glory.
Oh, Lord, show me your power.
Show me your power.
Less of me and more of you.
Less of me and more.
Show me your glory, Lord.
Show me your glory.
Less of me.
Less of me.
More of you.
More of you.
What I
need.
Oh, it's what I need.
Show me your glory.
Show me your power.
Show me your power.
Less of me, Lord.
Less of me. More of you is what.
So many times I've tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that
only you
can give us love that is so true.
So many times
I've tried my way, but all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that
only you
can give us this love. That is so true.
Hallelujah.
I need your glory, Lord.
I want your glory.
Less of
me, more
of you.
Glory,
Lord. I want your glory,
Lord.
your power. Less of me,
less of me.
More of you.
Show me your glory.
Show me.